Hello, friends. Welcome. So a lot of times when I start the Patreon bonus podcast, it's like, all right, I'm going to start at 203. And then at 208, you're like a fraudulent. What an asshole. Fraudulent son of a bitch. And then a day like today. Hey, podcast starts. Patreon starts at 205. And then here I am. 201, 202. I'm podcasting. Fraudulent. How hard is it? You know? It's been a battle for now. This is the 1,291st episode of this. So I've sat here in front of you doing the Patreon bonus podcast now 1,291 times, with an additional 1,291 times that I've done the free podcast. Wow. That's a lot. That is a lot. And I don't feel like I'm running on fumes. Again, I feel like I've got plenty in the tank. I feel damn good. You know? The math. Let's do some easy math. Let's just say 2.5 hours a day. 1,291 times. So how would I do that? Okay, that's 150 minutes. Times 1,291. That's 193,650 minutes of podcasting. Divide that by 60. It's going to tell you how many hours I've been podcasting. That's 3,227.5. 3,228 hours. Divide that by 24. That is equivalent to 134 straight days of podcasting. That's unbelievable. And that's like, that's not quite half a year. But it's pretty good. I feel good about that. Ryan says, you really are a goddamn rock star, my man. Oh, I know. I know it. I want to get into this Randy Travis thing. I saw this on CBS Good Morning or whatever. It's a longer piece, Sunday morning CBS, on country legend Randy Travis. This is actually pretty neat, but I'll probably ruin it in some way.
We've all heard about the promise and perils of artificial intelligence, but lest you have any doubts about its potential, consider this report from our Lee Cowan.
You may think that I'm talking foolish.
God.
Even if...
Okay, look at those looks.
You're not into...
And that voice.
Country.
You know how much tail you can slay if you're Randy Travis back in the day?
You can't help but bathe in the baritone that is Randy Travis.
Oh, darling, I'm gonna love you forever. Forever and ever.
Goes down like whiskey, always has.
But on the other hand,
ever since his first album in 1986 with record producer Kyle Lennon.
I thought if we sold 40,000 copies, they might let us make a second record.
And what did that first?
About 4 million.
Wow.
I'm a genius.
There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway.
Wow.
Randy Travis and that voice helped build Warner Music Nashville into what it is today. Chris Lacey is the label's co-chair and co-president.
What was it about his voice that was so unique?
How do you describe a thing that just hits you in the center of your chest, you know, and unconsciously makes you feel...
Can you imagine how wet his voice makes chicks and dudes? I mean, he, with that voice... The amount of froth that would be created would be unbelievable. It would be a shame to lose it, but he has. He's lost it, so no more froth.
Full and familiar and known.
Wouldn't it be something if in this interview she said, I cannot tell you how wet his voice makes me.
How do you describe something like that, you know?
Last night I dug your picture out.
Oh, it's making me wet.
My road dresser drawer.
His His was a God-given talent. And then fate took it all away.
Look at him. He's fucked.
Another serious medical blow to country music star Randy Travis. He suffered a stroke last night at a hospital in Texas.
It felt like it could be the end of an era.
I thought we were going to lose him.
Okay. Well, here he is.
He's given just a 2% chance of survival.
Besides, the right side of his body's paralyzed.
The paralysis, the area of his brain that controls speech and language, was hit the hardest.
Ugh.
Music is what he's made of. Music is his heart, it's his soul.
His wife, Mary, does most of the talking these days.
He knows what he wants to say, but
just doesn't come out.
Mm-mm.
You've made peace with it?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't be. I'd be like, fuck
and
that
how do you
shit.
Do that?
Oh, no.
3 years after the stroke, with Mary at his side, Randy Travis was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame and gave Amazing Grace new meaning.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.
There wasn't a dry eye in the house.
All right. Sounded good. You know, I mean, all things considered. I mean, I love him for trying.
In his absence, though, he's...
Look at that. Look at those looks. He had it all.
Heard a lot of AI-generated fakes of his voice. A simple Google search brings up sites like these, promising to convert anyone's vocal into a Randy Travis sound-alike.
Now, I didn't know you could do that. Like, I didn't know that any voice... Like, I thought that you would have to train it with your own voice to make, like, AIEZ. We all know that AIEZ is the thing. Ryan did that. He took audio from one of these 1,291 podcasts, and he created AIEZ. And what we learned is that AIEZ doesn't say nearly as horrible of things publicly as I do. So, you know, it kind of like I've out AI'd my own brain. Does that make sense? It probably doesn't. But anyway, I didn't realize that it's where anyone can be Randy Travis.
It doesn't sound good and it doesn't sound real because it's not.
She's talking about all the other ones.
And that got his record label thinking.
We started.
Essentially, they saw dollar signs.
With this concept of what would AI for good look like for us? And the first thing that came to mind...
One that makes us money!
...was we would give Randy Travis his voice back.
There were, however, more than a few skeptics.
It sounded like, you know, like a parlor trick or something.
But Kyle Lenning, with Randy's blessing, decided to try. He and Warner Music started by pulling 42 Randy Travis tracks from the vault.
Operator... Please connect me.
Like this one, the original recording of his hit, 1982.
And then they stripped away the music, leaving only the vocal.
For what I didn't do.
Wow.
I sure do.
Now that's actually Randy's voice. That's not AI doing it. That's his voice.
Need to tell her that I...
That was half the recipe. The other half needed to be provided by a donated... or surrogate voice.
So I have to get a level on you.
So I guess this guy has similar tone or is in the same, I don't know anything about music, key or kind of hangs out. His voice resonates similarly to Travis.
In this case, that voice came from country music singer James Dupre.
Being a part of new Randy Travis music, I mean, that's like, what?
She had eyes like diamonds.
That's Dupre.
When they caught the light.
That's what was put into the model.
The model. It's the secret sauce.
Here's the vocal. Loaded in.
An AI program that takes Randy Travis's voice and overlays it on top of James Dupre's singing. It's hardly an exact science.
It's not about how it sounds, it's about how it feels.
And that's not something...
No, it definitely is about how it sounds. Come on now.
A computer can figure out.
Not yet.
Kyle knows Randy's voice almost better than Randy does. They worked together for 40 years. This time, though, the task was to take a computer-generated voice and give it Randy's country heart.
Him being here and him being able to be, you know, a vital part of the decision-making process makes all the difference to me.
In the end, they finally landed on something they felt worthy of a voice no one but those who knew him best could replicate.
It's Randy Travis. Randy's on the other side of the microphone.
Well, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Still his vocal. There's no reason he shouldn't be able to make music. And to deprive him of that, if he still wants to do that, that's unconscionable to me.
Okay, so I think he's... I guess I'm not entirely clear. Other dude is singing. They're turning it into Randy Travis of a song that he's writing, like new music? Or did I miss that?
2 months ago, Warner Music gathered a small circle of fellow musicians in a recording studio. Randy sat with a Cheshire Cat grin. And then they hit play.
She had eyes like diamonds.
Holy crap.
The reaction to his first song in more than a decade
was a mix. That is a new song.
Of joy and wonder.
Oh, but they were dark and deeper.
God.
For his wife, tears.
You forget how much you missed it until you hear it again.
For Randy's country friends, like Grammy-winning superstar Carrie Underwood, there was confusion.
How?
She doesn't get it. She's never heard of this before.
Cole Swindell,
tell him about it, Cole.
Who just won 3 ACM awards.
Cole's like, look, to be next to a guy who actually can write a song, this is awesome because I feel like shit because I suck so much.
Reminded him of why he became a country singer in the first place.
All that guy sings about is chicks shaking their asses.
Reminded him of why he became a country singer in the first place.
For y'all, let me hear it. That means a lot. Damn, I'm glad to hear you sing. Oh.
And veteran country star Clay Walker.
And there ain't no more where that
he was simply.
I like this. I like his reaction. Like we're gonna make millions.
And Randy's own family hadn't heard it. Until 2 weeks ago.
It's so weird to kind of explain everything that goes through your head when you're listening to it.
It was perfection, with a caveat.
We don't exactly know how to get here again.
You want to laugh at me as I try to sing this chorus?
She set her diamond ring next to another round of bourbon.
The second song they're working on is proving a harder nut to crack.
Sometimes angels spill whiskey on their wings.
Wow. That is so crazy.
You hear how all the vibrato doesn't work, right?
Yeah.
There's still work to be done, clearly. And a lot of questions to answer about what this all means going forward. But revel in this. After a decade-long absence, Randy Travis is back on the radio. His post-stroke debut song, Where That Came From, was released this past week. For Randy Travis, it's not just a single. It's a victory.
It's a life inspiration. Speak kindly, love fully, live completely, and leave the rest to God, you know?
Sounds like there's a song in there somewhere.
We can only hope.
Uh-huh.
There just ain't no more where that came from.
That is, okay, that's great. You know, I mean, you can't really, you know, I don't know how the audience will react. I'm guessing that they'll be, that they'll like it. Aaron writes, this is the hologram thing where nobody ended up caring. Ryan writes, poor standing sick singer. Dude, given the short end of the stick. Sorry, sometimes there's this little icon over the words and I can't read it. I guess context just doesn't work for me. I wonder if they're going to use any of the AI to recreate this.
It's just released dash cam video of country superstar Randy Travis completely naked and in handcuffs.
Mr. Travis, you hit pretty hard over there.
I'm as fine as a damn dandy.
Travis was charged with driving while intoxicated after he crashed his sports car into a construction site near Dallas. You can see his bruised face in the video. Listen to what he tells the arresting officer.
This is like a few months before he had the stroke.
He tells the arresting officer,
"You're a dead man in under 10 minutes.
You're a dead man in under 10 minutes.
You think I'm lying to you? Just check me out."
So he's sitting nude with the cop, with the black guy. He says, "You think I'm lying? Just check me out. I'm gonna love you for..." The cop says, "Okay, Mr. Travis." Randy says, "I know a lot of people. I know the head of mafioso family."
The insults aimed at the cop didn't stop there.
"I pray to God that he will have a cancerous growth that it affects his bones and every part of his body."
He said to the cop, "I pray to God that you will have a cancerous growth that affects your bones and every part of your body."
"Is that directed toward me, Mr. Travis?"
"Yes, it is."
"Yes, it is."
"Well, I'm sorry you feel that way."
The recording was made in 2012, and Travis just lost a long legal battle to keep the video private. His lawyer released this statement calling Travis's behavior that night entirely out of character. He suffered a severe concussion and sustained numerous other injuries.
I bet you when that was going on, he was like, "God damn, I wish AI was talking for me on this, because I'm sure saying the wrong thing right now."
From the crash, Randy is deeply apologetic for his actions that evening.
Why can't Randy say it?
After the incident, Travis suffered a debilitating stroke. Last year, he was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame by Garth Brooks and struggled to sing Amazing Grace.
He should use AI to apologize to that cop.
General did decide to release that tape. He agreed to blur the sections of the video in which Mr. Travis is nude.
Nah, I know. I wanted to see some dick. All right, so that's no mention of that in the feel-good AI story. Megan says, "Oh, shoot, Randy, karma." She also adds, "Didn't Milli Vanilli get in trouble for this?" Yeah, nowadays, I guess that's like, it's good to do this. Kenny writes, "Good luck seeing that song performed live, LOL." Looks like karma caught up, told Mr. Travis after threatening cancer on the cop. All right, Darla is losing her mind. And I cannot finish the show if she's losing her mind. So I'm hoping she just chills. But if she continues to act up, because she's going... I'm going to have to take her outside, but I've taken her outside like 100 times today. You know, I take her outside and she sniffs around and she gets distracted and she tries to chase a squirrel. She does this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, "Come on, let's go. Let's go." Take her out 25 times a day. And I think she's tired. I think that's what it is. When she gets tired, she's starting to peter out. Kenny says, "Just pick her up and give her lovin's." I tried to do that. I have proof. Okay, hang on. Hang on. Damn it.
No, we're not going. No.
Researchers have found for the very first time video example of an orangutan treating an injury with medicine. Yes. I don't want to get the image here because I'd have to take my hands off her, which means she'd fall to the ground. I was reading this article somewhere, and I'll link it up in the show notes to this show, where they were studying, these biologists were studying orangutans, and from 2022, they noticed that one of the orangutans, do you say orangutan or orangutan? I say orangutan. The orangutan had like a big cut on his face or something like that. Okay. And then, see, she just yawned. She's ready to go sleep. Well, they noticed that it healed up pretty quickly. Like, how did that happen? And then they went back and looked at the video. And the orangutan was like going up to plants that have medicinal properties and like breaking the leaves, kind of like an aloe plant or something like that. You can put that on a burn. The orangutan has figured out which of the plants to use to aid healing, to speed that process up, medications. And it's the first time it's ever been seen or witnessed. I'm fascinated by this. I'm fascinated with a lot of things concerning our great apes. I saw it because we own them. There was a video that's going around. It's old, of Robin Williams, of all people, who is literally communicating with a gorilla. I think it's a gorilla. Yeah, it was. It's a big gorilla. And the gorilla knows like tons of sign language. Okay. And so he's communicating with the gorilla. They're having a conversation, which that just sounds like the best thing in the world to me. Now, in this day and age, everybody loves Robin Williams. You know, his passing, not me. I never really cared for him. I never really cared for his humor. I think his serious acting I thought was quite good, but I've never been a fan of his comedy. It's awful. In fact, when I watched it, I was kind of annoyed, and I kind of wanted the gorilla, I guess the gorilla's name was Coco, to rip off his arms and stick him up his ass. But that did not happen. But it just shows you the unbelievable intelligence of great apes. And I found that to be incredible that this ape has actually more understanding of modern medicine than the two apes that listen to this show or any of the other apes that believe that a chiropractor is the way to go. Yeah, that's right. I'm taking the long way to tell you that gorilla, that orangutan, has more sense about medicine than Kenny in Nashville, Joe Martinez, Dave in Hudsonville, or any of you other dickwads who seems to think that I should go to a chiropractor to take care of my medical maladies as opposed to a real doctor. Let me see if I can get the image of this. I'm gonna love you forever, forever and ever, amen. Okay. There's the orangutan. See, his face is all jacked there. And then he put the medicine on, and then it healed up rather quickly. I'm gonna put you down, baby doll. That creature right there, not only is it smarter than Kenny and Joe Martinez, it's more attractive, looks more human-like than either of those two idiots. So we can say officially that this orangutan is brighter than Kenny and Joe Martinez and Dave in Hudsonville for their ridiculous chiropractor point of view. Kenny says, you really go out of your way to be an ass when you have to be. That's exactly right. Let's see. Is there anything else about this? The orangutan's name is Rakus. Rakus the orangutan. Likely in his mid-30s, first seen somewhere in Indonesia. He seemed to be purposefully applying plant sap and crushed leaves into the wound, almost like a poultice, according to the research. This is a fascinating example of intentional wound treatment in a wild orangutan, said Cheryl Knott, a biological anthropologist at Boston University who is not involved in the new study. She adds, this proves that apes are much more intelligent than boorish humans who believe that the medical industry is trying to trick them. I would also like to say, she went on to say, that this proves that people who swear on chiropractors as opposed to going to a doctor are absolutely full of shit. End quote. That is what she said. Wow. All right. Speaking of an idiot, this guy was accused of threatening his roommates with a rifle. How would you like to move into a place to be a tenant and have your roommate be this guy? Come on. He has a little Randy Travis going post-stroke. He was arrested after threatening to kill his roommates in Redding, California with a rifle. It happened yesterday. Cops responded to the house at 8 a.m. The guy you just saw is Jason Fink. He refused to leave the home after he threatened his roommates and brandished a rifle at them. Cops negotiated with Fink from outside the home, and he eventually surrendered. One of his roommates was not moving, so officers entered the home and found her inside. They did find the rifle that Fink used to threaten the roommates. It was loaded semi-automatic rifle. He's a convicted felon, booked into the Shasta County Jail for being a prohibited person in possession of a firearm and ammunition, brandishing a firearm, and for criminal assaults. So I think we need to somehow question what's going on in the brains of the people that actually moved in with this guy. What were you thinking when he said, come on, you can live with me, with that face? To think that there was probably a point in time when this guy, before life got a hold of him, that he was actually a normal-looking individual with dreams and hopes and probably fun in his heart. Wow. That is nasty. Aaron says bad life choices are made if you end up living with someone that looks like this. That's exactly my point. You know, those people aren't much better off. The ones that he was threatening. I doubt they were like an upstanding family. Kenny writes, and yes, you've always been this way, but geez, man, I was trying to be helpful. Oh, relax. It's just a joke, you big baby. Go suck your thumb. Patrick writes, looks like the orangutan gets his hair cut at King's Room. Great hair. Brian writes, solid point, EZ. Chiropractors are the equivalent of sham artists standing in fields dancing with metal rods as a farmer dreams of rain. My point exactly. About the roommates of this guy, Alan writes, unless they're blind, there is no excuse, without a doubt. You know, the look on this guy's face kind of matches up with some of the people that call me on the Insane Asylum radio show. That's kind of what I'm dealing with, or at least it kind of feels that way. Folks, thank you so much for being here. We got a big Fraud Thursday. We'll be covering who are these free beers. Haven't yet figured out what type of clips. I'll let you know, give you a sneak preview of it as soon as I find out. And then we have the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast all coming up on Thursday. Thank you for being here. Till next time, have a good one. Bye-bye. You may have seen, and I offered that quick glimpse of me back to exercising my right arm to try to get past the discomfort. As predicted, the pain-relieving analgesic effects of the prednisone has worn off. And now I am back to this aching sensation in my shoulder from this pinched nerve that is fucking shit up. I mean, goddamn. So I did schedule my rehab. Now, is the rehab going to alleviate my discomfort? You know, I don't know. My doctor seems to think so. I know you're probably like, God damn it, Eric, we are sick and tired of hearing you talk about your rehab and your arm and your pain. Some of you are like, just get your ass over to a chiropractor. No, I can't give in. I'm going to do that kicking and screaming. I just don't believe that that's going to help me the way you all think. Well, some of you think that it will. Okay? But as predicted, I think it was David Limbaugh. He's a new radio guy. David, WGVU. Was it WGVU? I forget what it is. I don't know. One of the audience members says, yes, the pain is going to return. So today, as I've sat here with great frequency, then all of a sudden I start getting the pins and needles in my hand again. And the aching sensation. I will tell you this. Today was weird. I finished up that free podcast and I could tell I was running out of gas. You may have noticed it was shorter than normal. I was circling the drain. I got to bed later than I should have last night. And I knew it was going to start to pile up on my brain. So I got to a point. All right. I finished up that free podcast. The dogs were being a pain in the ass. And then I noticed that the lawn was getting long. I said, I have to hammer out mowing the lawn, and there's a thunderstorm rolling in. I could actually see in the distance to the west. I could see the lightning. And then well after I see it, I would hear the thunder. So I know I've got some time, but I didn't know how much. So I fired up the fucking lawnmower, and I'm racing through mowing the lawn, which for an old bastard like me, as tired as I was an unbelievable expenditure of energy. As that's winding up, as I'm finishing that, it's pouring down rain. And it's literally lightning right over me. And I'm like, this is how I'm going to die. I'm going to get struck by lightning while I'm mowing the lawn. How embarrassing is this? Thank God I got that done. Obviously, I didn't get hit by lightning. Went inside. My clothes are soaking wet. But it's done. And I laid down. And within 2-3 minutes, I could feel my eyes just like, okay, I need to sleep. It's 1 o'clock. And I'm like, Now I have to be podcasting at 2 o'clock. For who are these broadcasters? I haven't yet published my free podcast. And I haven't even thought about my Patreon podcast. So all of this is affecting me. And I could feel this all snowballing. What to do? There's only one thing to do. This is what people tell you all the time. You hear about this. Listen to your body. So I slept. So that's it. I'm shutting it down. I set the alarm. It was 1:02. Okay? And this is how systematic this all worked out. I wanted to take a 30-minute nap. So I set that clock, I swear to God, for 1:32 p.m. And I immediately closed my eyes. And then I opened my eyes, and it was 1:31. My body woke myself up 1 minute before the alarm is going to go off. And I actually had this conversation. Oh, thank God. I still got a minute. said, what the fuck are you doing? Just get up. Shut the alarm off. Got up. I had to quickly go and publish the free podcast, which I did. And then I had to be checked in to the studio, the virtual studio with Christian on Who Are These Broadcasters, by 1:45. I checked in. My hair looked like shit. I go, I can't do this show unless I fix my hair, Christian. So I had to go fix my hair and get a cup of coffee. Boom. 1 minute before the show starts, I sat down, did that, walk out of this room after the show. It was 3:20. Pooh Bear's laying down. I think she felt amorous because my fly was open and she stuck her finger in where my ding-dong comes out when I go pee. She shared with us the new family pictures. She shared with me the new family pictures. I should share those with you right now. Let's see. I think they came out great. Yeah, I can share these. Okay. Okay, wait a minute. Copy. These are the ones that I told you about that the cops showed up just the other day. Which, by the way, you'll notice in these pics when I share them with you that my son is not there, or my daughter-in-law, or my grandkids. Yeah, long story. Hey, we're taking a picture. And they said that they're going to have to get their own pictures because my grandson with his autism, he gets, you know, that's a mystery. It affects kids different ways. For some reason, they said he is not interested in doing this and getting his picture taken. He's 9. So we're out. I said, no problem at all. Let's view the gallery. Look at this bunch. See what I mean about those gravel piles? That actually works. These are great pictures. Oh my God. I saw them very little just a few moments ago, so I'm just going to thumb through them. Look at that. Look at that bunch. I don't even look like a fat pig. Pooh Bear's beautiful. Look at my daughters. Look at my son-in-law. He's such a looker. He's such a handsome devil. Uh-huh. There's Pooh Bear. Look at, oh, we got, I wish my chin wasn't double there. I wonder if they can Photoshop my fucking fat, ugly chin. I need some type of liposuction. Look this way and smile. The lady who did these pictures, if you want to know who she is, let me know, and I will direct you to her if you want, like, family pictures done. Look at my daughters. Look at my wife. I'm so lucky. We are so blessed. Look how fucking tall Justin is. Megan says, Justin's a giant. Never seen him with the rest of you, just by himself at Irvine's. Oh, yeah, he's a big fella. He is a big fella. So there you go. So here we go. Got a couple stories I want to get to. This one I saw about a guy who they thought he may have committed a murder from way back in the 1980s.
There was a lot of things why I chose WGU School of Business. The accessibility.
There's some sound that we don't want. Sorry about that. A little pizza. They were able to get some DNA on the victim, and in order to get DNA on the guy who was the suspect, they had to trick the guy. And wait till you hear how they did it. This is unbelievable.
about how investigators used a piece of gum to catch a homicide suspect in a crime from nearly 40 years ago. Judy Weaver was killed inside her Everett home in June 1984. New court documents show her case had gone cold until late last year when new DNA was found from a ligature mark on her wrist. Investigators say the DNA led them to 66-year-old Mitchell Gaff. But investigators still needed another DNA sample. That is when officers posed as representatives from a gum company and told the suspect they were doing a study on which flavors people liked best. Today, Gaff was back in court where he pleaded not guilty. He was arrested last week and is charged with aggravated first-degree murder.
Gaff.
He is being held without bail.
Way to go, Gaff. What a gaff. Oh, my God. Yeah, hey, we're from Wrigley's. We're just testing out new flavors, man on the street style. Would you try this gum? My God. That is brilliant. I love every second of that. Jesus. Then there's this story. A Florida man. How many times have you heard a story that starts out, a Florida man? This guy, they suspect, killed his wife. The FBI has laid out a detailed case showing why they think that the Florida man is behind his estranged wife's disappearance from her apartment in Spain. The court documents were released yesterday that show that David Nezevich resembles the man wearing a motorcycle helmet who spray-painted the security lens outside Anna Nezevich's Madrid apartment not that long ago. The man left an hour later carrying a suitcase. Spanish cops said they have security video of the 36-year-old Fort Lauderdale business owner purchasing the same kind of paint and duct tape hours earlier at a Madrid store. Investigators also interviewed a woman who says Nezevich asked her to translate a text message that was sent to his wife's friends after her disappearance. Nezevich's attorney, Ken Padowitz, did not return a phone call or an email seeking comment. He said his client is innocent and was 1,600 miles away in Serbia. But authorities say Nezevich rented a Peugeot in the Serbian capital 4 days earlier. A few days later, a Spanish driver reported his license plates were stolen. On the night Anna Nezevich disappeared, a license plate reader on her Madrid street recorded the stolen plate number. Additionally, hours after she disappeared, a Peugeot bearing the stolen license plates went through a suburban Madrid toll booth. The driver could not be seen behind the tinted windows. The rental agency told investigators that when Nezevich returned the car 5 weeks later, the license plates had been replaced and the windows had been tinted. And it had been driven almost 5,000 miles. I would say that's enough circumstantial evidence to warrant an arrest. The FBI arrested Nezevich, a naturalized American, at Miami International Airport on Saturday, charged with kidnapping and being held pending a bail hearing. They've been married for 13 years. The couple, they own EOX Technology Solutions. Blah, blah, blah. Nasty divorce was involved. Gets ugly. Jesus, how does that even happen?
Offer valid on standard browsers, U.S. only.
When I heard about Date My Age, I thought, really? But there I was in my empty, quiet house, my laptop on the kitchen counter, and I typed in my name. Looking for a man between the ages of, 40 to 60? Sure, why not?
Date My Age is different. With verified profiles, you can feel safe and secure to explore meaningful connections with interesting and mature singles.
Date My Age made it really easy. I could join and view online profiles for free. All of a sudden, my empty house wasn't so quiet anymore. I got so much attention, it just made me feel seen and alive.
Date My Age helped me start a totally new chapter in my life.
Find a friend, a lover, a partner at Date My Age. Get 60% off when you join at datemyage.com today. That's datemyage.com to connect with thousands of singles worldwide. datemyage.com.
And they don't know where she is. My God. Meanwhile, another story from the vault. It's described on FARC as Florida cop fat fingers the computer when he runs a car's license plate. This results in A, running it again, B, a good laugh down at the station, or C, father and special needs daughter removed at gunpoint from stolen car.
Who were held at gunpoint, handcuffed by Pinellas deputies, all because of a typo, according to the family's attorney. Now, we first reported this story last month, and now we're getting a better look, an inside look at how this all unfolded. Fox 13's Aaron Mesmer is live in Tampa now with speaking with the attorney today. This is some scary stuff here. Aaron, exactly what did he say? What happened?
Well, first of all, Mark, he says there are still a lot of questions about why this happened, how this all unfolded, but he says someone needs to be held accountable.
Hands up! Driver, step out of the vehicle!
Guns drawn.
Keep coming. Stop. Down on your knees.
And shouting commands. Pinellas deputies believe they caught a possible car thief. Body cameras and dashboard cameras recorded as several more deputies arrived, weapons in hand. All the while, a stunned father, now in handcuffs.
Can I ask what's going on?
Pleaded for an explanation and begged them to listen. Several deputies were now pointing their guns at his 16-year-old daughter, who suffers from epilepsy.
She's a special needs child.
Okay, that's fine.
Seconds later, video from another deputy's body camera shows the teenager getting detained. This is the first look we're getting at this New Year's Day traffic stop that this father, Jason Frederico, says terrified his family.
It's traumatizing for her, and it's a sad situation.
A situation his attorney argues never should have happened. The deputy who made the traffic stop had a typo when he searched Jason's license plate, and it came back as a stolen vehicle from New Mexico. Or, as deputies explained it that night,
it could be user error. Or could
check your own work to make sure that you're not...
This is what I try to say to Kenny all the time when he's sending texts. Okay? I try to make this clear to him.
Putting innocent civilians' lives in danger, because if they do one wrong move, they're shot.
Recordings show authorities frustrated with the mistake.
This is what I'm talking about people on the shift not knowing what they're doing.
The deputy.
Okay, that's the cops yelling at each other.
Who made the error sounded shocked.
Oh my God.
And somewhat defensive when confronted by another deputy.
Yeah, people make mistakes.
Mistakes
happen.
But lives are at stake when mistakes happen.
Meanwhile, the family is considering a lawsuit.
Whether your standard operating procedures need to be changed, whether the officers that aren't trained need to be removed from the force, there needs to be some accountability.
I don't buy any of that shit. I mean, sure, it was uncomfortable at the time. It was probably frightening, but no one's really hurt. There's, in my opinion, this is much to do about nothing. It was an accident. People fuck up. That one guy's right. It is a fuck up. Okay.
Told the traffic stop lasted less than 10 minutes, but it left his father in disbelief and relieved it didn't end worse.
I know being a cop is hard today, but when you have, you know, a 16-year-old girl.
No, bullshit. It was an accident, fucker.
Myself, just going about your everyday business, and it turns to this. I mean, it's unfathomable.
No, it's not.
The Sheriff's Office, a spokesperson, says they cannot comment at this time due to pending litigation. Mark.
All right, we'll see how it plays out. Aaron.
Okay, come on now.
Mesmer live for us tonight. Aaron, thanks.
Again, they're lucky they weren't black. Stevie says, hell yes, I'd sue. For what? What damage was done? Chris says, screw that. Do your job right. Wait a minute. You guys are idiots. Are you telling me that it's expected to be 100% correct all the time? I think that's silly to even think that that's, I mean, of course, it's an accident. Come on. Jesus. Chris asked the question, did the plate come back as the same type of vehicle? I don't know. I don't think it's that big of a deal. As long as no one was hurt, and no one was hurt, then I think that'll be it. I got a little bit of time to kill. I want to see, we had Joe Spaulding on the free podcast. I'm going to give him another call here because I want to see if he's got an update as to what's going on with any early returns in our beautiful Ottawa County. Oh, this is gonna suck. All right, he's busy. All right, I got a plan. I'll bring Pooh Bear in. You can't go wrong with Pooh Bear. Now, if I can't get her to pick up.
Hello.
Hey, it's your husband.
Hello.
Yeah, where are you?
Resting.
All right, yeah, I just had a few minutes to kill, so I figured I'd call you.
Oh, that's nice.
Yep.
What are you doing? Are you on podcast?
I'm podcasting. You can tell, can't you?
Yeah, I can tell. Yeah. I'm taking a spring break with my duck puppies.
Yep. So what's on the agenda for today?
I got nothing today. I got to work at the Y tomorrow and Saturday.
All right. Okay. Well, there's a pretty good chance I'm going to be heading up north this weekend. You should come with me.
No, I can't. I just said I got to work Saturday.
Well, all right. So
aren't you supposed to be heading somewhere? Don't you have to work?
I'm sorry?
I thought you had to work today.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to hear when Fuckface tells me I have to show up there.
Oh.
Which, by the way, I was talking about this on the free podcast. You know how I told you he blames me for things?
Huh?
You know how I told you that Doug always blames me for shit?
Oh.
Yesterday, he was making a burger. And you know how, like, on the grill, there's slats, there's openings where they, you know how, like, on a typical grill?
Uh-huh.
Somehow, he managed to drop a burger on its side down into the fire. And he blamed me.
How did he blame you?
I had scraped the grill earlier to get it ready for him to cook. And uh-huh. He suggested that I moved the grate in a weird way. So that, and I'm like, you fucking idiot. I didn't have anything to do with it. It's not my fault you're clumsy as fuck and you dropped a burger in there. He was livid.
He just can't make a mistake.
No, he can't. It's always my fault.
What a cockhead.
I said to him, yeah, he is a cock. I said to him, I go, that's not true at all. I actually stood up for myself for a change. And he goes, no, you did. You did. I go, no, I didn't. I swear to God, I didn't.
Next time, just tell him to fuck off.
Okay, I was just showing everybody the pictures. I was actually sharing the pictures with everyone.
Oh, nice.
And they seem to like them, so.
You did.
All right. Okay, I appreciate you and I love you.
Okay, you too.
All right, enjoy your brain break. There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bye.
By the way, at Bosco's the other day, I was walking through the dining area, and I see a face that I recalled. And she goes, "Hello, Mr. Z," and I go, "You're Amy, the lunch lady." She goes, "Yep." Okay, some of you may remember this story, but when Madison was in school, she was in, like, I don't know, third grade. Dad's come to the school, and, like, I was a watchdog dad, and that's just the term that they use. It's Mr. Z's turn to be watchdog dad, and you show up there and you read the kids a story, and then you go out and you play with the kids on the ball field during recess or whatever the fuck. And I didn't know this, but for whatever reason, when the kids are outside, they actually lock the doors so the kids can't get back into the school. And then I don't know why. But anyway, I was freezing. I wanted to go back inside. And I go and I pull the door and it's locked. And I go, oh, shit. And some little fucking kid heard me say shit. And he went running over to Miss Amy. And he says, she's a lunch lady. Miss Amy, Mr. Z swore. And fucking A, man. She comes walking up to me and she says, excuse me. I go, hey, how you doing? She says, we don't swear here. This is a learning environment. We don't use bad language. One of the children heard you say a bad word and told on you. And I was like, that little fuck. Jesus Christ. Narked me out. And I was like, oh, I am just so sorry. I it just happened. I'm sorry. Oh, I felt this fucking big. It was terrible. I wanted to kick that kid's ass. So this is her. She's right in front of me. I go, Amy, you're Amy. And I go, and I haven't seen her since that day. I go, recess. She goes, uh-huh. I go, oh, my God, what a day that was. And she goes, yeah, that was legendary. And I go, oh, my God. And I said, I felt so bad. And she goes, well, you should have. So she's like doing it again to me. I go, what do you do now? She goes, I still work there. I go, oh, my God, you're still the same battle axe. Jesus Christ. So there she is at Bosco's, and I wanted to spit in her food. I didn't. Don't worry. All right. I'm out of time. I don't have anything more to talk about, so I'm just going to cut this short. I love you guys. Thank you. Big Fraud Thursday happens. Thanks to Patrick for the amazing Photoshop again. I'll talk to you down the road. Take care, folks. Thank you. Bye-bye. Because if you haven't, you know, you typically when it's the show's this late, I've passed out. And I did. I absolutely passed out. So this is becoming an afternoon show, I guess. It's afternoon drive with EZ. Hey, there's Ryan. He's like, huh? I don't get it. Amy's like, hello? Stacy is here. Is that Stacy Bobasi? Is that the Stacy? Oh, I love Stacy Bobasi. Matthew says, look at that hair. Yeah, it's kind of like I just rolled out of bed. Pretty much. Pretty much. Kenny says, I'm about to pick up Kelsey not listening live when she gets in the car. You're a wise man. You are a wise man, my friend. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if it has something to do with maybe taking those steroids. Because I did learn that prednisone, it has an effect on the system where it amps you up, raises your blood pressure. It's I don't know what exactly, but. So Monday and Tuesday of this week, I was like really charged. And then I stopped taking it, not Monday and Tuesday. I guess just Monday, because yesterday I did not take it either. And I felt a little bit out of sorts yesterday. And then today I was just like, oh! And about 1 o'clock, I laid down and I'm like, I'm just going to, you know, I got my work done. I got a little respite. Let's see where this takes me. And I had, like 2 hours later, I get up, I look in the mirror, there's lines all in my face. I haven't moved. I just, oh my God, the dogs, I wake up and the dogs are just seated staring at me, looking down at me. Three dog faces. And these are faces that say, we're about to piss on your bed. We're about to take a dump on your bed. You haven't let us out in a while. And we don't have opposable thumbs. We can't open the door, you dumb fuck. we're going to piss on your bed. It's like, holy shit. So what I do, I rolled over and fell back asleep. And then I wake up and I hear this, "Hi, cock." And I'm like, what? I roll over and there's Pooh Bear. She's home from work. "Hey, cock." I go, "Oh, hey, honey. Hi, love you." Oh. Dogs are fine. I couldn't keep Darla up here. We sat down and she immediately started to scream at me. And I'm like, look, I got to do a show. And I got to do it uninterrupted. Because just as I was getting ready to start this show, I get a phone call from Junior and Dougie. I get, because there's Doug, Big Doug, the retard, and then Dougie. And Dougie says, "Hey, did my dad call you?" I go, "No." And he goes, "Well, yeah, he's supposed to call you. We want to know if you could come in for a couple hours." I go, "Well, yeah, of course I can come in. I live for going there. Are you kidding me? I love Bosco's Pub. Even when that fuckface tries to blame shit on me that I didn't do. Like move grates, so burgers fall through the grill. Dumbass." So it's like all of a sudden, you know, I'm back in the land of the living. And it's fantastic. And that means like we have afternoon show today. I like afternoon show. You know, I also like getting it done as quickly as possible. But sometimes I'm like, you know what? I got to pass out. I have to do that. And then I wake up and I feel good. Stacy Bobasi says, "I just listened to the morning podcast, Eric. I don't care if you say my name. I didn't want you to give me shit about getting back with Jason." Okay. Now, I've been given the approval. You notice I didn't say. I never said. Okay, this is where this went for me. Because these two lovebirds are like an item now. There was a time that they were an item before, and then it did not work out. And so that was it. So that was all I knew. And then all of a sudden they showed up at Bosco's and they're back together. And I guess this is months ago. Stacy said to me, "Yeah, don't say anything." And I thought she meant like, don't tell anybody about it. So I just kept it, you know, close to the vest. I wasn't going to say anything because that's what you told me to do. Stevie says, "Do we know Jason?" I think so. He showed up at one of the car shows, the Irvine's car shows. And he was like all weird at the time. We're like, what is your deal? But anyway, he was at Bosco's yesterday with his little buddy. And Stacy was not there. I guess you were feeling under the weather. And so I hope you're feeling better. So, yes, we do know Jason. He's just a little bit, he's a little quiet on here. I don't know if he actually is with us on the chat when we do the free podcast. But he's definitely a supporter. And he goes to Bosco's on Tuesday nights. Chris says, "I might go get a burger tonight." Well, I'm going to be there. I imagine it's about 3:50 p.m. Big Fraud time right now. After I get this done, do some boring audio editing, post it, feed the dogs, out the door. So I imagine sometime before 5 p.m., I will be there, of course. I'd love to have you there. I just got a new audience member on Patreon. That is number 230. The last time I had 200, and I talked about this yesterday. Last time I had 230 plus was 2 years, 4 months ago. I'm on the rise. The show is on the rise. Since I started I talked about this before, the free trials, I have gained 70 or 80 Patreon members. Now, I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but believe me, it is. It is a lot. Okay? And that is just fucking great. And I owe it all to the free trials. That has been a godsend. But I just picked up this guy named Jeremy K. Before I get to that, Kenny writes, "It would be wise to never let Easy know about your private life. So good call, Stacy, LOL." Well, that's not true at all. She did a good call by just talking to me here about her private life. Aram says, is the rise due to who are these free beers? I think it's a combination of the free trials and the curiosity of who are these free beers. Because every time I post on the free platform, hey, here's a free clip, I get more people who sign up just to at least check it out. They don't all stay, but they at least are curious to hear it. So I think I've kind of found what goes in with the secret sauce, at least for now, in that. And that is, so that's great. To get that type of a response. But anyway, this Jeremy dude writes to me today at 12:40, and he's going to hear this. He's a $5 Patreon member, so he gets the recorded audio later on in the day. Big Fraud, this is my first time emailing you. It's funny, I know that name, Jeremy Koss, maybe on like... Facebook of by maybe I've been in a Facebook fight with someone and I've seen you comment. Maybe that's it. But your name looks familiar. This is my first time emailing you, but holy shit, you have to hear this noise from Kelly. It might be the worst thing I've ever heard. Okay. So I'm going to share that with you right now. And we will share this on Who Are These Free Beers coming up tomorrow. Check this noise out. I think you'll be able to hear this. Oh. What is happening? You were able to hear that, right? It's so short, I can't tell if I'm getting an audio level on it. Wow. That is ultra intense. Kelly makes some of the most unfortunate noises I have ever heard in my life. Patrick says, holy shit, Jeremy K immediately brought the hits, without a doubt. If I'm in a room with a person that makes that noise, I'm immediately leaving that room with that person in it. Yikes. Great job, Jeremy. Maureen writes, I wish I had not heard that. I wrote back, oh my God, this is a great pull. This is right before I took my nap. This is a great pull. Surprised it wasn't nightmare fuel. Jeremy adds, as I was sleeping, I've been listening on and off to the free podcast for a while now, but I just signed up for the Patreon free trial last week. Who Are These Free Beers and Who Are These Zanes are brilliant. I enjoy those way more than the actual Free Beer and Hot Wings show now. Prime example, show rundown. Free Beer and Hot Wings show, May 7th. Of the 16 segments that they do, 4 of them are replays. Wow. 3 are the flashbacks and the daily trivia. So that means they're down to 12 segments to be fun. 2, quote, around the rooms, which we know amounts to nothing every single time. So now you're down to 10 segments. 3 games, trivia, you can't win, and the worst game of all time, my show member can. Basically, just blurting random shit out. So now we're down to 7 segments. Started with 16. So more than half of the segments. 2 segments of stealing from prep services. That's the Free Beer and Hot Wings report. We've talked about that. Now we're down to 5 segments. 2 segments of reading off a list. Talking about F1 prices. I'm not sure what that means. Compelling and novel content, he writes. Everybody who knows about F1, is he referring to Formula One? F1 prices. He is referring to Formula One. Everybody who knows about Formula One knows that the pricing at those races is exorbitant. This is not new or exciting or even remotely interesting. So now they're down to three segments. One stolen bit that happens every day. What did we learn? And one stolen bit. Oh, and then one local segment. And then segment 17, which is now the 18th segment, so they couldn't even bother learning how to count, I guess. I lost some of that. Jeremy writes, Zane, these are 18 segments on this show. There is literally one segment of original content, and it's the local segment, which is just a giveaway. I cannot believe the show is still on the air, he writes. It's not even a shell of what it used to be, because what it used to be is unrecognizable compared to what it is now. I think I'm going to finally cancel my subscription and switch over to the Patreon and the Drew Lane Show, formerly Drew and Mike, out of Detroit. By the way, I just had Brandon from the Drew and Mike Show on my podcast. Was it the Patreon? It was the Patreon last week. You missed it. Brandon joined me. I was an OG podcaster from back in the day when we were just called podcasters. Freeburn Hot Wings just doesn't deserve my money anymore. You do. You make compelling content. Some of it isn't really for me, but that's okay. But there's enough of it that I enjoy that I can justify spending money on you. Thanks for showing me just how shitty that show has become. Wow. Well, you know what? I really appreciate your email. When I can kind of shine a light on the dumpster fire that is that show, I like that. I don't want you to necessarily cancel what you listen to, though, because you can be a local roaster. You can be a guest roaster, I should say. I talked about Trey being a guest roaster on the show, Trey Marshall, and I think that actually is going to happen eventually. But I need people to be able to do what I do. We need to have Ben, myself, and a guest roaster. And there are some suspects who are in here right now that I know are more than capable of it. I know Ryan is an excellent roaster. Ryan has to make another appearance as a guest roaster. And then we can kind of build out from there. The sky is the limit when it comes to guest roasters on any of the shows. Who are these free beers? Who are these Zanes? I want to know if you guys think it'd be a good idea to even branch out even further and throw in, who are these Steve and Kyles? That fucking shit show has been dying for a roasting forever. I think that might be in the cards too. All right. Oh, there's another clip too. He sent another clip. So this is kind of like an impromptu version of Who Are These Free Beers through Jeremy. He writes, okay, this should be my last email for now. Free beer bummer joke falls flat with bonus Kelly over laughter. All right. Let me see if I can get this here. I don't know if I can. I think I can. You know, you've come really far if you're suddenly doing impromptu versions of Who Are These Free Beers? Okay. My brain is just not right now, so I don't even know if I can open that clip. Kevin says, do it. Chris says, oh, God, unlimited content for Who Are These Steve and Kyles. Ben Glaze says, damn it, that laugh was one of my clips. Shit, I'm sorry, Ben. We can go back to it. It's, you know what? That's got power. That clip of hers making that noise, that's some power. But that's gold. That is a golden clip right there. Oh, my God.
One more good idea from New Jersey.
All right, this is the free beer bummer joke.
Oh. For the guy wondering how to meet people going through a divorce, become a gynecologist. You will be so much more confident talking to women.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a natural icebreaker of, well, let's see what we got going on in here.
Yeah.
That is a good idea. I mean, I'm sure as a single dad trying to make ends meet, you got plenty of time to go back to gyno school.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, you get used to a variety of smells and everything.
Maybe you can learn at home. Just open up a water bottle and look inside and make comparisons. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Wait a minute. He was doing okay.
Probably not. More people need advice next.
Oh, did that run out of gas? Oh, my God. He was doing okay.
One more good idea from New Jersey. Oh. For the guy wondering how to meet people going through a divorce, become a gynecologist. You will be so much more confident talking to women.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a natural icebreaker of, well, let's see what we got going on in here.
Yeah.
That is a good idea.
If he stopped right there, that'd be fine.
I mean, I'm sure as a single dad trying to make ends meet, you got plenty of time to go back to gyno school.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But it's just still fine. He's just kind of doubling up on it. No big deal there.
And you get used to a variety of smells and everything.
Maybe
that's a good joke, too. This is where it gets weird.
You can learn at home. Just open up a water bottle and look inside and make comparisons. I don't know.
Yeah.
When one opens up a water bottle and looks inside a water bottle, I mean, I think he's just missing the comparison. I mean, he didn't need the joke, but most people would go with roast beef or something like that. I don't think I've ever heard someone describe a vagina as looking inside a water bottle as reminding them of a vagina. Perhaps I'm missing it.
No school.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, you get used to a variety of smells and everything.
Maybe you can learn at home. Just open up a water bottle and look inside and make comparisons. I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably not. More people need advice next.
And then that run out of gas vibe where there's just a little bubbling under silence there. Ooh. Wow. Patrick says, I listened to Stephen Kyle's show years ago, and it's even worse than Free Beer and Hot Wings. Chris says it's way worse. Oh, absolutely. Chris says, open up a water bottle? Aram says, does anyone remember Free Beer saying a long time ago that they were considering hiring Steve before they hired Joe? Let me think about this. When we started, okay, Steve was in Jersey, and we were looking for a producer, but we didn't have any money. Joe started as an intern and then made himself valuable enough, and we had to lean on management, and they made him a producer. I don't recall Steve being in that. That's not true at all. We had our sights set on Joe from the get-go. If I heard that right, then that would have been a very long period of time with Steve Stunts. Nope. That does not add up at all in my brain. Once Joe got started, and then it was Freebeer's idea to do the stunts. I remember he came up with the concept of, I give him full credit for that. He would spin the wheel, we'd spin the wheel, and then it'd land on a Joe stunt, and we had points assigned, and he'd earn, you know, it was a whole thing. And I remember we actually sat him down for a meeting. Hey, little guy, we know you're a little boy and Chicago gangs have hurt you, but would you be willing to be our stunt guy? We're just going to do a bunch of crazy shit, and then we'll attach dollar amounts to it from time to time, and people are going to love you. It's going to be so much fun. They're going to think you're fantastic. Okay, I'll do it. And the rest is history. Aram says Free Beer was very funny when he made prank calls. I know it. God damn it. When we reviewed Who Are These Zanes last week, was he quick on his feet when he was putting that lady on hold and coming back and just talking to her. God, I literally forgot that he had that type of ability. I don't know I think if he started to do it, he could probably get good at it again, but my God. Aram says some of the flower shop forums were jerky boys level. 100%. 100%, 100%, 100%. I don't know why we ever stopped doing those bits. I think we just got fat. Anecdotally. We kind of just didn't really want to work as hard anymore. And before long, you know, all the things that made us a show, Sounds of the Game, Joe Stunts, Flower Shop Forum, Talk to the Tape, PA Pranks, the general level of the discussion, the ball busting, the making fun of the callers. Slowly but surely, those were like stripped away. And if you do that all at once, it's like it's a big deal, but it was just one at a time. We would cleave off another thing that we, fuck it, let's not do it. Post-show phone calls. We used to get done with the show, and then we would make phone calls, like people in the news. Some guy who lights his hair on fire in fucking Wisconsin. We call him up. We track down phone numbers. 5 out of 10 would maybe work out. Sometimes 2 out of 10. But the ones that did, they turned into bits. And those that's how like Mrs. Neiple became a thing. That whole conversation. That's how the lady who the knife went in her eye, and then the crazy moment, wish give my best to your husband. He died. That's how those moments happen. And then when you stop doing that, that's it. Chris says, I love the bit. Oh, cat flexing. That was the bit with the lady who wrote a book. We used to get this radio interview, TV report, people who like write dumb books and they want publicity for them. You look through the book and then you book an interview. We booked a lady on the show who had a book called Cat Flexing, How to Get in Shape with your Cat. And so you're like, you know, hanging on to your cat while you're doing squats. And so it was the bit was Light Rock Classic Talk, Greg and Chris, and then callers call in to the show, the talk show, to ask questions to the author of Cat Flexing. Well, unbeknownst to them, the people that are calling are me. And so I go in the other room, I pick up the phone, and I got a boombox with a CD in it of wild animal sounds. And it's set on Bobcat. So they pick up. They go, hey, this is Serena in Birmingham, Alabama. How are you, Serena? Oh, hello. Hi, babies. How you doing? And the lady is charmed by the old lady who's calling her. And I start like saying, now what do I got to do? Am I supposed to do this? That? Yeah, Serena. Yeah. Well, I got my kitty cat right now. And then the lady is just loving the fact that one of the audience members listening to the radio, hearing the interview about cat flexing, is actually lifting weights with her cat. And she's charmed. And it's like, oh, this is so fun. I just love this. And then I hit play on the CD. And you hear, oh, this moan, this cat moan. And I'm like on a landline doing it. So it's a real good signal. And I'm like this far away from the fucking boombox. And then Greg and Chris go, it sounds like Moses doesn't like that because I named the cat Moses. Hey, what's your cat's name? It's Moses. He's fine. He's no problem, baby. Wow, it sounds like Moses is a big kitty there. Yeah, he's fine. He's fine. No, don't worry about it. And so the lady is just, she's totally bought into the goddamn thing. And then the bobcat loses its shit. And I go, oh, God, you motherfucker. And I start swearing like crazy. And we're recording it, so later on we're going to bleep it out. It's no big deal that I'm swearing. You motherfucking son of a bitch. And then I start bashing the phone on the table like I'm hitting the bobcat. And the lady's going, don't hit your cat. Don't hit your cat. It was fucking great, man. And then Greg and Chris start talking to me, and they go, yeah, he's a 48-pound bobcat. And so that was the ending. Oh, my God, you got a bobcat. And I'm acting like I'm all cut to ribbons and shit. It was fucking great. Oh, my God. That bit killed. Whew. Chris says, I love the ones talking to the lady. Okay, that's his comment. Patrick says, the ones where Zane was on the line with Soprano Lady killed me. Oh, Soprano Sue. Aram says, I'm curious what the big instances were that you guys referenced you got in trouble for and were never going to be able to talk about on air ever. I think they would have been pretty pre-2008. Two that stand out. One was the mattress incident. Stop me if you've heard that one. The other one was we dressed Joe up in an orange jumpsuit and handcuffed him and had him run into the local hardware store saying, somebody give me a hacksaw. So we're listening. He's got the Bluetooth in. He goes running in. We're on the air, and he's handcuffed, and we hear him say, somebody, give me a hacksaw. He's trying to get somebody to cut the goddamn cuffs off him. Now, that's too real. I cannot believe we're like, yeah, this is a good idea. Of course, what you think is going to happen, happened. Nobody would help him, and by the time he's running out of the goddamn store, 911 is on the phone. Joe gets into the car and he's driving and the bid is a failure. Riley's Ace Hardware. Right. That's where that was. And all of a sudden, there was Grand Rapids City, Kent County Police, and Michigan State Police. All three racing to the scene on calls of an escaped fugitive. So Joe gets, if I remember this correctly, I don't know if this was live or recorded. It might have just been recorded, and I don't think we aired it. I cannot remember. I some of this is foggy, but Joe was apprehended at gunpoint. And this was a shit show. Because then the Michigan State Police and then like the Attorney General and fuck, they're looking into this at breach of peace and seeing if they can file charges against us. It was a fucking nightmare. And Greg had to go with the cleaner to clean the shit up. The cleaner is Catlett, and Catlett would always put out the fucking fire. And I don't know, they jumped in a car days later and drove all the way to the state police headquarters in Lansing. And had to put out this fucking fire. And I think we had to give a donation. Similar to what Pat Collins talked about when I had him on. I think we had to give money to get them to shut the fuck up. Because we were doing a bit. Nick says, yeah, Riley's is less than a mile from the jail too. Where that all went down. Oh my God. Adam says, I love these behind-the-scenes stories. I remember when Joe, he goes, guys, I'm getting pulled over. And then you hear, out of the car! Out of the car! Hands up! Out of the car! And he's, he could have gotten shot. Aram says, I can't believe that wasn't on the news. Chris says there was video because I remember people commenting on the state police's stupid gumball machine light on top. Wow. You got a better memory of it than I do. That was spectacular. That's the shit that we would do that there is a high risk, high reward. And the second you stop doing that, you've lost something. Adam says, I hated you guys because of the salt shaker prank. I thought I was going to get fired. I think you tried to convince your boss to go, Oh, my God. All right, that's it. Come see me. I'll make you a hamburger. Thanks, everybody. Love you. Bye-bye.
With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Whether you're looking to buy your dream home or rent a sweet apartment, give Redfin your gotta-have-it wish list of property features, and you'll receive real-time notifications tailored just for you. Ready to see it up close and personal? Scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Don't wait to find your perfect match. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.